Welcome to Jersey Guys Sports, your sports talk home for the Yanks, the Giants, the New York Rangers, and the Rutgers and Scarlet Knights. And I'm your host, Don. I want to thank you for listening today. And today I'll be discussing Aaron Judge being the runaway MVP in the American League this year, another Yankee odds and ends, as well as the New York Giants squeaking by the Carolina Panthers over the weekend. So let's go ahead and get started. So there's been a lot of talk recently about who should be the American League MVP for some bizarre reason that I cannot fathom, because it's Aaron Judge. There's some people saying Shohei Ohtani on the California Angels should be the MVP, which is just a joke. It's not a stat for stat who is better, because obviously Aaron Judge is in the Triple Crown race in the American League. Triple Crown winners almost never happen, if you know. There's probably been, two or three in the last 30 or 40 years in the American League. It never happens. Judge is going to win the home run lead, obviously, in the American League. Judge is going to win the RBI championship in the American League. And Judge is now 1 point behind the leader in batting average in the American League. He's at 316, and the leader is at 317. So he has a legitimate, real chance of winning the American League Triple Crown, which almost never happens. And Shohei Ohtani is having another very good season on a team that is a disaster in the California or Anaheim Angels, right? And finally, it's funny, because if you listen to Michael Kay and the Yankee announcers, you know, you're probably banging your head like I do. But finally, after all these years, I hear Michael Kay saying what I've been advocating forever, and that most valuable player actually means valuable and doesn't mean best player. It is not the best player award. And in my mind, I don't think Ohtani's the best player anyway, but it isn't the best player. Even if Ohtani was a better player this year than Judge, and he's not, this is the most valuable player award. So it's, this guy was so valuable that this happened, right? That's what value means. You know, you bring value to your team such that this is what happened to your team. Now, the Angels are a terrible team with Ohtani. So what can you say filling in that sentence? Ohtani was so valuable that the team sucks still. I mean, come on. You're not that valuable if the team is still a disaster. And the Angels are a disaster. And they have Mike Trout, by the way, probably the best player of our generation at this point. And the Angels are still not a good team. So Ohtani is so valuable, even with Trout on the team, that the team is still one of the worst teams in the American League West. I mean, it's just, there's not value there. Now, on the other hand, Judge, despite his spectacular numbers, adds tremendous value, because without Judge, the Yankees are nowhere near in first place. With him, they're leading the American League East. They're going to have the number two seed in the playoffs, despite their sort of wheels coming off the bus collapse in the second half. They're having still a good year and will be in the playoffs as the number two seed. So without Judge, the Yankees probably would miss the playoffs this year. So that's the value there. He's so good that they're the number two seed with him and probably wouldn't make the playoffs without him. Ohtani is so good that the Angels stink. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. This is not the best player award. If they want to make this award for the best player, they should just name it something else, the Babe Ruth Award or something, given to the best player in baseball. But it isn't the Babe Ruth Award. It's the most valuable player. And when you say value, you have to ask those questions. He's so valuable that without him, what would happen, right? Now, it's funny because in all previous years, you never hear Michael Kay or other people writing it that way. But suddenly, they finally woke up, I guess, when it's a Yankee in the mix here. You know, value means this, because all the previous years, they just simply talk about the best player in baseball without any consideration to the team that he's on and that the team sucks. Value is value, right? And if you're not going to talk about value, you can't call it the most valuable player award. In any case, if Aaron Judge doesn't win the most valuable player in the American League in 2022, they need to fix the system. They need to throw out the people that vote and fix the system, because it would be an utter joke with the season that he's having this year. He's going to break Roger Maris's record for home runs. He's going to have 130 plus RBIs. He's going to bat over 310. He's carrying the Yankees on his back to the playoffs and to the number two overall seed in a first round bye. He's the MVP. End of story. Full stop. I'm sorry. And the people that think otherwise, I think you need to understand what value actually means. I'm sorry. I mean, not that there's not some kind of argument you can make, because Ohtani is, he's a pitcher, and he's a great hitter, and he's a really good pitcher. Yes, he's all those things. And the team still sucks. So his value is what? They suck with him. They could suck without him. He's not that valuable this year. Right? And he wasn't that valuable last year, by the way, either, when they sucked. So, and he did win the award. In any case, people need to understand what value is. So that's my piece on that part of it. A few other odds and ends, though, about the Yanks before I move on to talk about the Giants. So I'm recording this on Tuesday, and Daniel Bader is finally going to make his debut for the Yankees Tuesday night. He is the trade piece that we got for trading away Montgomery to the Cardinals, and I cannot wait to see Bader play center field. He is apparently one of the best, if not the best, defensive outfielder in Major League Baseball. Supposedly the stats say so, which I don't care. I want to see it. But every commentator, every person that's seen him play, apparently Carpenter was on his team for a long time, and Carpenter said he's amazing. I can't wait to see him play center field. The Yankees need people with speed and good defensive ability, and this will really help our outfield. If only Benintendi could get back this year, we'd have an absolutely elite outfield. But Benintendi, no one knows if he's going to be coming back this year, which absolutely sucks. And the same for Carpenter, by the way, who I mentioned a minute ago. Yankees really this year, in addition to just, you know, people playing worse in the second half than the first half, have also had so many injuries that have just killed them. If you think about LeMahieu being out and Rizzo being out, Rizzo just came back. And Benintendi is out, right? And Carpenter is out. Stanton was out for a long time. These are good hitters, you know, out for extended periods of time. With Carpenter and Benintendi maybe out for the remainder of the season, and who knows even about the playoffs. So they're not going to beat the Astros this year, the Yankees. It's going to be tough. But we do get Severino back on Wednesday. We're getting Bader back on Tuesday night game against the Pirates. And I can't wait. Getting better can only help this team and, you know, make it more exciting, right? Now, Severino is going to start Wednesday, and I hope he does well because, you know, we need some kind of ace because Gerrit Cole is killing us. He's just killing us. He pitched another game. I don't know. Was it Sunday? We won like 12-8 over Milwaukee, but it was just another disaster performance by Cole. He keeps getting banged around and giving up runs, and I'm so friggin' tired of hearing the apologies for him. Oh, it's just one bad inning. Oh, it's just, he only gave up three hits. Yeah, there were 3 2-run homers. I don't care. I don't care what the excuse is. I want to see zeros by Cole. $30, $35 million a friggin' year. I don't want to hear one bad inning. I don't want to hear he only gave up three hits, but five runs. I don't want to hear it. What I want to hear is he gave up no runs in seven innings. He gave up one run through eight. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to hear his excuses. I don't want to hear the apologists. Cole is fucking killing us, and that's it. There's nothing else. He is no ace right now. This team does not have an ace starting pitcher. The closest thing we have is Cortes, who continues to be, you know, just a joy to watch on the mound. But, you know, I don't know that I would call him an ace, but he's our number one starter, you know, even if Cole will pitch game one in the playoffs. And it's got to be remedied. I mean, if there's any possible chance of some kind of turnaround in the playoffs, and, you know, spoiler alert, there isn't. The Yankees, believe me, guys, the Yankees are not winning the World Series this year. But if there was any outside chance, Cole has to be dominant, right? And he's shown absolutely no signs of that ever happening. So, you know, the formula would be Cole would be dominant. Severino would come back and be great. Cortes would continue to do what he does, right? We'd have people come back and start hitting, right? We'd have LeMahieu come back and be, you know, how LeMahieu generally is, right? We'd have Judge continuing his stuff. We'd have Stanton finally waking the hell up and actually starting to go on one of his great streaks, right? We'd have Rizzo coming back and really hitting well. He had a great debut last, you know, Sunday, but he needs to continue it. That's one game back after being off for a long time, right? We'd have Bader coming back, hitting pretty well and being spectacular in center field like we want. you know, maybe Benintendi or Carpenter. I can't possibly hope for both. One of them coming back and really contributing. That's what it's going to take, along with somehow finding an actual damn closer on this team, which we don't have now because Holmes is just a disaster at this point. So it would take all of those things to challenge the Astros. Even with that, right, we don't have a fantastic shot of beating the Astros, but it would take all that just to sort of, you know, be in the picture. And maybe it will happen, and I will be very happy if it does, especially if Judge breaks the, you know, home run record in the American League this year. We want it to be, you know, on a good note at home, on a happy year, and hopefully, you know, it happens. So a lot of things need to happen for the Yanks to be good. So that's my odds and ends for the Yanks. I'm going to talk very briefly about the Giants as we close out this podcast. Let's move on now. The Giants squeak by Carolina on Sunday. And when I say squeak by, I mean, it wasn't very pretty to watch the game. And they could not run the ball at all compared to game number one. They really could not pass protect. Jones had very little time. And when he did, you know, he was, okay. He made a couple of really good throws, I have to say, and a few very good runs, I have to say, as well. But again, he's done nothing to sort of overcome bad circumstances, in my mind. In any case, the Giants won. They found a way to win. They're 2-0. That's something better than any of the previous 4 or 5 years teams would have done, and it's good. The 2-0 start is great. They beat a bad Carolina team, and they did so by being persistent and playing fairly good defense. Not great defense, but fairly good. And I have to say, it's funny. For those of you that happen to be Giants fans and Rutgers fans, it is amazing how often in recent history that the Rutgers game on a given weekend mirrors the Giants game on a given weekend. And this is a perfect example of that, right? Rutgers barely squeaked by Temple, if you guys saw or heard about that game, right? And the Giants barely squeaked by Carolina. And the similarities in the games were hilarious. I mean, the Giants, well, let's look at Rutgers, and you can see if this sounds like the Giant game, right? Rutgers could not score no matter what, right? They could not run the ball. Sound like the Giants? Rutgers could not pass protect one bit during that game. That seems familiar with the Giant game. Rutgers blew early chances to really take a lead. You know, there was a missed interception on the first play of the game. And for the Giants, two early fumbles led to a total of 6 points, right? We got two field goals out of two deep in Giants zone, you know, deep in their own zone fumbles, right? And the Giants could not even get a first down and kick two field goals, right? Blown early chances. Rutgers scored one entire touchdown. Sound familiar? Rutgers finally ran the ball very, very late in the game to kill the clock. Sound familiar for the Giants? Neither team in the Rutgers game scored 20 points. Sound familiar for the Giants? So it's really funny. I mean, you look at the Giants and Rutgers. They couldn't score. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass protect. They blew early chances. Each team scored one touchdown. Each team sort of finally figured out how to run a little bit very, very late in the game. And in both games, neither team on either side scored 20 points. None of the four teams in two games. So it's funny. And it's just a silly thing to note. But, you know, being a Rutgers fan and being a Giant fan, you know, I watch them both every weekend. And it's you can't help but compare sometimes, especially when they've both been bad for so long. In any case, it was quite interesting. A couple decent things. As I mentioned, number one, Daniel Jones had a couple good plays, even though, again, I don't think he played particularly well. He only threw for 170 yards or something, but he did hit a couple key third downs, and he did run for a few big first downs in key situations. So I am going to give him credit there, and we're going to see how this builds around him. He continues, in my mind, to make the wrong reads, and I thought that for a while, and it was interesting that the broadcast this time highlighted that, which I haven't seen a lot lately, but they spent some particular focus on that in this game, which I appreciated. And that is that after a particular either completion for short yardage or incompletion, they would zoom out and show the whole field. And they'd show what was open and what was not open. And you'd see Jones throwing to a guy for 3 yards where there was a guy open 15 yards crossing, wide open, that Jones just didn't see. And they showed that 3-4 times where that happened, either on an incompletion to someone else or a short completion, which didn't help the Giants. And it's a continuing, ongoing problem for Jones where I don't feel like he, under pressure, can make good decisions. I don't think he has, you know, a feel for the pocket when there's pressure, or when to run or when to throw or when to look. Again, it's early, right? I felt this way for a long, long time. This is a new offense. You know, all the apologists are like, oh, we've had this many coordinators, this many coaches, and, you know, and not, I would answer to that, and not a single one of them has Jones looked any good at all ever. So, you know, if you're trying to blame one of them, you know, as opposed to saying it changed all the time, you know, maybe one of them, he could have actually looked good, but no. He, in all the coaches and all the coordinators, he sucked. He looked like shit on every single one of them. So that would be my answer to the people that apologize for him in that fashion. And by the way, through 39 career games, Daniel Jones had 51 turnovers. That was before last night's or this Sunday's game, right? So 39 career games as quarterback for Daniel Jones, 51 friggin' turnovers, 30 picks, and 21 lost fumbles. This is in addition to everything else I'm saying about him, right? This isn't even, I haven't even talked about his turnovers, right? This is just his shitty quarterback play. So, you know, you just throw that little bit in the mix and we'll, you know, see what happens. I'm also, by the way, very excited about Rutgers, Iowa coming up this weekend. I'll definitely do a podcast after that. Rutgers has a chance to go 4-0 and 1-0 in the Big Ten. So I can't wait for that. That's all I have for you today. I want to thank you for listening to Jersey Guy Sports. I want you to please subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends about it, and I'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks, and have a good day.